Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Thursday to you. Well, if you listen often enough, you know we've got a number of monthly features that we do that we love, and this is one of your favorites. It's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. I want you to call in with your health questions. I say this every month. It's just true. We don't always get to every single question that comes in, but we absolutely do our best. So I've got a list of questions we didn't tackle last month. We'll get to these, but we like to put a priority on our phone calls. I'm going to pitch that number real quick, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. But we're also doing something a little different. At least we're hoping we're doing it. We think we're doing it anyway. We're trying Facebook Live for the first half hour of today's show. So if you want to get on My Faith Radio's page on Facebook, we are there live. You can see us. You can see that Dr. Troy is wearing a purple shirt right now. Isn't that amazing? I love modern technology. Like, that's a big deal. But anyway, you'll be able to see him, and you post your questions, and we've got my niece in studio, Katie, and my dear sister, Chrissy. Katie's going to be taking the questions off of Facebook, if we can get this thing to work, and she will be giving the questions to Dr. Troy. Also, we'll be taking your phone calls, so let's just see how this goes. I'm going to give that number again, 877-933-2484. Maybe you wonder about psoriasis. Somebody has a question about that. Maybe you wonder about arthritis, asthma. Maybe you've got fibromyalgia. That question comes up every single month. We would love to talk with you. And I will make up an answer if Dr. Troy doesn't. No, I'm just kidding, because he knows everything. 877-933-2484. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurrell is the CEO and founder of Synapse, the Center for Health and Healing. He travels extensively conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company is located in Eagan, Minnesota, and I will tell you, we always link up the practice, his clinic, on our page. And we've got friends coming in from outside the Twin Cities to come and see him, and it's worth the trip, I'm just saying. Dr. Troy, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to the conversation. And we have this kind of wild card technology thing going. I hope it works, but we'll just keep our eye on the prize, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yes. Well, you know, you've been on enough times. We love to start out talking scripture. Wondering if you have a passage you've been thinking about these days.
Yeah, it's actually Ephesians 4, 22 through 32. So it's quite a bit, but just bear with me. Mm-hmm. And then I have one more I just want to put in there. And so just because this topic is very, very important to me, and it's something that's not addressed in our healthcare system a lot, and it's our thoughts. And so I want to start with Ephesians 4:22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must pay off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Mm-hmm. And I want to finish with Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Fantastic. Talk about those. I see some calls coming in. Hang with us. We'll get to you in just a moment. But how those tie into how you wanted to kick off this conversation, because you wanted to address the idea of thoughts and personalities and how they actually impact our health.
Yeah, I actually learned about the science of this well before I read the scripture of this or understood the scripture of this. I'm sure I read it, but didn't sink in like it did afterwards for me. So what I came to realize is that our thoughts really do influence a lot of what happens physiologically in our body. And we see all kinds of different manifestations. Now, with one particular area of the brain, it happens to be my favorite area of the brain, the basal ganglia, it sets the tone for our muscles and our emotions. And so when we have these thoughts, these automatic negative thoughts, which we'll go into a little bit more detail later, there's an actual physiological reaction that occurs, and we now can measure these reactions. So what the Bible tells us, basically in a really, really plain old way, we now can actually measure and know it to be true. And so negative thoughts, generally speaking, have negative consequences in the body, and positive thoughts have positive consequences in the body. So when we listen to the word and we apply it, we can measure it physiologically in clinical situations now.
That's absolutely amazing. And I know there's more that he's going to say about that, but let's take these questions. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We'll look at, take Leroy's call, checking in from Bloomington, Minnesota. Hey, Leroy, how are you today?
Hi, I'm doing really well. Thanks, Susie.
Yeah. What's your question for Dr. Troy today?
Well, I've got a question about my wife has been having some difficulty with her knees. And she has been diagnosed with arthritis, or at least beginning stages of arthritis. But she's had some real pain involved in her knees, and she recently had some cortisone shots, and she also had a rooster comb injection, and doesn't seem to be helping much. And I'm wondering what he would say about kind of the next course of action, what would be possible?
Well, with knee dysfunction like that, there's a lot of different variables and scenarios. So generally speaking, the reason why these problems start to happen is there's a breakdown in and around the joint. So everything boils down to how physically, chemically, and mentally or neurologically balanced is she in that particular area. Now, here are some things that we look at when it comes to knee dysfunction. Number one, a lot of times we lose strength in the quadratus or the quads, the big leg muscles, when we have some level of digestive inflammation. The most common cause of digestive inflammation linked to knee arthritis is dairy sensitivities, dairy reactions. And so it's really important to make sure that you don't have that inflammatory intestinal reaction. In fact, there's an old quote by a president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, that he said, "Beware of dairy, it weakens the legs."
Wow.
Yeah, way back then. So actually, I think he said ice cream, but I don't want to go that far. It's getting a little crazy.
A little crazy.
But the dairy is one of the most common. Now, it can be other sources of food interaction or intestinal inflammation, like bacterial imbalances or dysbiosis, things like that. The second component is there's a muscle behind the knee called the gastroc. And when it gets really tight, then it can cause compression on the knee joint as well. And that muscle is more related to stress. And so if she craves sugar or salt, especially late at night, then that's a tendency of the adrenal glands to be hormonally out of balance. So if that's the case, we have to look at what type of stressors are we dealing with. Intestinal inflammation counts as a chemical stress. Sleep disorders or lifestyle stress still counts. And sometimes not regulating your sugar properly can also contribute to that. So getting good sleep is a big part of that as well. Generally speaking, chiropractors who do kinesiology can identify which muscles are tight or not working and what's potentially causing that from inside. But I would start with making sure the diet and sleep are good and then identifying what stressors might be there. Pay close attention to dairy. Lincoln was a very smart president.
Leroy, thank you so much for that. And I got to say, we've talked about this before, Dr. Troy, but it takes us a long time to get messed up, so to speak. And so we have to have some patience for the multi-layered approach to sustainable health, right? I mean, I just know from my personal experience and my journey with how you've helped me so much, but there's been layers of sleep and digestion and emotional stress that's built up. I mean, there's been so many aspects, but as you peel back each layer, I'm gaining more ground. And I just think we're so addicted to the quick fix, the quick pill, that we're treating symptoms, and it's still not sustainable health.
Yeah, that's 100% correct. And as you pull back the layers, eventually there's a core.
Yeah.
Eventually there's a core issue where once you get that core issue resolved, you are done with that. Now, there might be something else that comes up later because there's always a mental, chemical, and physical triad that you're balancing, but you will identify core issues. And once you get there, you're resolved for life. It's a very, very big impact.
Wow, it's amazing. We've got this question. We'll probably take a quarter hour break here in just a little bit, but I want to know, and if you need to carry this answer on the other side, Dr. Troy, please let us know. But this, I'm trying to look in here. Who was it? Nancy, off air, question about restless leg syndrome. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, restless leg syndrome, now is an area of the brain, links up with the basal ganglia quite well, but there's a lot of different scenarios there. So it could be anything from iron deficiency. So depending on her age, iron deficiency is one of the thoughts that go through our head. Lymphatic congestion and is one of the most common causes of that.
Interesting.
So lymph is the fluid in between the cells. It tends to pool in our legs. And at nighttime, when we're not using our muscles to push the lymph, it stays there. So our nerves and our muscles will send signals back to the brain to move the legs. Another thing that can cause is a REM sleep disorder where you're actually acting out your dreams. So those are the two most common scenarios. If it's congested lymph, exercise helps a lot with that. And again, decreasing sugar intake, because that's one of the most common things that congest the lymph system, and just making sure the muscles are balanced in the legs left to right. If you do something as simple as a squat, go up and down, bring the legs out a little bit further and do a squat, you'll be able to tell if one leg is stronger than the other, even if no one else assesses it. When doing these things, you start to get a little bit of guidance that things aren't quite balanced. You should be able to balance on one foot for 60 seconds while raising the other one and vice versa. If you can't do one leg over another, there's something wrong there, and then there's a greater potential of your lymph system to pool.
Interesting. So if you're out of balance, I mean, do you see the ripple effect of one issue unaddressed creates another issue, then another issue? That's why this is a multifaceted approach. Well, it is Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Those of you, who are watching on Facebook, I'm hearing you can't hear. So you can't even hear what I'm saying about us not hearing. They can hear now? Do you think they can hear now, Katie? All right, so you can post your questions. We're going to get this right. We are, but we're having a great time in the meantime. 877-933-2484. Keep the calls coming. When we come back, we'll address Marie's call from St. Paul. Curious about inflammation of the stomach. Can you speak to that? You started to talk a little bit about that, but I know there's a lot of disorders associated with that, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, a ton.
Absolutely.
Yes.
More with Dr. Troy when we return. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and we love this edition. We do monthly Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We welcome your questions. No question is ridiculous. If you're a little shy, you can call in anonymously, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Call in with your questions. We're going to get to the stomach inflammation in a moment, but we've got a call. Carolyn's checking in from Toledo. Love that. Hey, Carolyn, how are you today?
I'm great, thank you, and thank you for taking my call.
So glad to have you on the show today. What's your question for Dr. Troy?
Well, I was wondering if there's anything I could be doing to slow down arthritis that I'm noticing in one of my hands. I know my mom has the same thing, and she's in her 80s, so obviously it seems hereditary, but I didn't know if there was anything preventatively that I could be doing now.
Yeah, arthritis is a tricky one with the hereditary component, but what we do know is that some of these people do have dairy sensitivities like we just talked about. Sometimes there are scenarios around lack of forgiveness or resentment, if you will. So if there's anything like that in life that hasn't been dealt with, it's very, very important to deal with that part of it. And then from a physical perspective, we're really seeing that the genes are just expressed when the environment is right for them to be expressed. So what that means is there's a new study called epigenetics, and what that means is certain environments within your body will promote that gene that then allows the arthritis to go on. Emotionally, we do know that forgiveness and resentment are very, very important to be dealing with. Chemically, we know dairy and the inflammation that comes from that. If it's in the hands, generally speaking, sometimes there's actual physical things that need to be done to take care of situations. So the stress component is very, very important. So if you look at both your mother and yourself as far as how you both handle stressors in life, in particular to addressing something maybe that would lead to a conflict that you don't want to, that you're avoiding, those are the emotional sides of it. The chemical side of it can get pretty tricky. If there's an inflammatory condition and your lab tests show an elevation of what's called C-reactive protein, then you have to identify that source of inflammation. And funny enough, it's usually somewhere else in the body. So it can be anywhere from the neck itself. And so we tend to look for degenerative or changes in the neck at the base of the neck. And then we're also looking at the junction between the small and large intestine, inflammation around a valve called the ileocecal valve. And that tends to lead to or mimic carpal tunnel type syndromes that then after long periods of time can cause more of an arthritic condition because the joints are compressed there. So we've got some inflammation there and some probably in the digestive system or in the neck that has to be dealt with. And I do want to say one thing. There's probably, I know there's something else that we don't know yet. Mm-hmm. So I know that because there are people that we work on with arthritis that get better applying what I just talked about. And then there's people that don't actually improve that tells me there's something else there that I've not been privy to as far as the information actually corrected. So there's more there, more to that story.
This is a side note, but it just made me think of that. I don't know why, but I remember coming home from a speaking event and I'd had an appointment with Dr. Troy on a Monday and I was feeling jet lag and sluggish, even a little lightheaded. And he did this thing where you're pushing on my stomach. I don't remember what you were looking for, but maybe that valve thing. I don't know. But anyway, he said, did you have peanuts or popcorn? And I'm like, who wants to know? Anyway, he did this adjustment. I felt this like flush of energy and I felt normal the rest of the day. What was that? I mean, I really felt like I had this spring in my step and I was expecting to feel sluggish all day. What was that?
Yeah, that was your ileocecal valve.
See what I'm saying? I knew there was a reason my brain picked that up. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got Bobby checking in from Maplewood. And Carolyn, thank you so much for that call. Hope that was helpful to you. Bobby, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Doing well. We've got a full house and it's pretty fun. We're doing this on Facebook Live too, so it's kind of a fun day. What's your question for Dr. Troy today?
Well, I just happened to turn my radio on and hear you. I'm struggling with my second bout of what I believe is tennis elbow, that tendon on the outside of the elbow. And the first, it's not from tennis. I believe it's from overuse of my mouse on my computer during my workday. And the first time I had it, it took about a year and a half to clear up, and I'm wondering if there's anything I can do to speed up that process.
Yes, definitely. So I know there should be a new diagnosis out there called excessive mousing syndrome. There really should, because I've seen a huge increase since we started having more computers. When I first started this, we didn't have computers everywhere like we do now, and so internet is everything is on the computers now. So the reality is these things really sneak up on us because everything that we're doing in a daily basis is actually in front of us. So we're literally forward with our neck posture. We're forward with our shoulders and our arms rotate in. So it's that constant rotation that with the arms. I'm going to actually do this Facebook Live because I can on the radio right now. It's constant internal rotation that we're seeing these muscles become overworked. But it's actually the neck muscles and the shoulder muscles staying forward that cause the problem in the elbow.
Amazing.
And when the wrist goes off just a little bit, that muscle stays tight. So you want to actually get the wrist corrected and you actually want to get the shoulders back and your neck and head back. So if you Google the exercise wall angels, that will help you speed up this process. So it's a stretch. It's like a snow when you go in the snow and you're doing that snow angel, you want to go up against the wall and push everything back into the wall. And you want to stretch all those flexors, all those muscles on the front of your body and the neck, and start bringing it back. And if you do that every day, just 10 in the morning, 10 at night, takes literally 60 seconds each time, that will help you keep nice and stretched out with the flexors. It undoes a full day of that excessive motion syndrome and many other things that cause us to constantly be forward. And I have a story of a gentleman in his mid-70s who came in for shoulder pain, and he couldn't even get back flat against the wall with his wall angel. He was about 14 inches away from the wall. And as we age, you see people start to slowly stoop forward. And what we want to do is exercise the back muscles more. And he was able to get flat back against the wall after a year. And his shoulders felt so much stronger that he started bowling again.
Wow.
And so it's very, very important for us to keep up on those wall angels and just stay the course with them. It takes a while, but you just got to keep pushing up against the wall. So start with that. It'll help quite a bit.
And I got to say that that's one of my assignments. I do it every morning and every night. You have me roll a towel, put it behind my neck because I have so many neck issues. Is that something everybody should do? Or
I would say most people, but the people who have any history of trauma or accidents, car accidents, stuff like that, or when the neck, if they've been told that they've lost their curve in their neck, then rolling up a towel actually helps to potentially restore that area or support it
against the towel,
exactly.
Right?
Yep.
And I got to say, a side benefit is I've been feeling ab engagement when I do that because I've had so many neck issues. Sit ups have not been the thing I can do lately.
Yeah.
But doing that snow angel where you're pushing your head against, you are engaging your abs. I mean, it's a
core exercise.
It is.
Actually,
it is.
Isn't that
amazing?
One other really big benefit that's actually
it.
In my world.
Come on,
The actual rib expansion, when you get your shoulders back like that, it actually opens up your rib cage. And 1/4 inch of increased rib excursion when you breathe, so your ribs are expanding a little bit more with each breath, 1/4 inch of rib expansion is equal to an Olympic pool full of oxygen every day that your body's now getting that it wasn't before.
Whoa.
So as you guys are looking at the Olympics right now and watching that, picture that pool of water full of oxygen and just getting 1/4 inch more rib expansion. That's how much more oxygen your brain and muscles are getting every day just from practicing that exercise and breathing. It's that important.
So I don't know one person who shouldn't be doing wall angels.
I agree.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Wasn't that great? Do you have a question?
Yes.
You do. Okay, we are going to break. Katie's going to ask this question on the other side, and I see these calls. I pray you're patient with us, and we want to get your calls. I got a little bit of an idea on the board here what your question is, but I'd much rather you get to talk to Dr. Troy personally. It is another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. On the other side, my dear niece Katie Hall is going to be asking some questions on Facebook Live. Don't go away. More great conversation when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Having a fantastic time. Got a studio full of people that I'm just crazy about, so it's so fun. It's this month's edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We've got Kyle behind the phone on Facebook Live. Of course, Erin is masterfully working the board. My dear sister Chrissy's in studio, and my dear niece Katie watching Facebook Live so we can get questions. Sherry from Cottage Grove, we're going to get your question in just a moment, as well as a few others that just came in. I can answer a quick one that came in anonymously. Can you repeat what the angel exercise is? It's wall angels. You're standing against the wall, and maybe you should explain it since you're the doctor.
Sure, I'll
what
take
you
this one.
What you want to do is...
Yeah. You basically just keep everything flat against the wall. The back of your head is against the wall. Mm-hmm. Your arms are up, and keep the elbows locked at 90 degrees and get them flat against the wall. So your shoulder blades should be flat against the wall. and then your butt and heels flat against the wall. And you just go up over your head until your fingertips touch, and then back down and get your elbows into your side. And just kind of rub up against the wall back and forth 10 times, pushing backwards the whole time.
I was going to say, with the tension pushing against the wall,
the tension
right?
pushing mm-hmm. against the wall. If you want to see it done well, just grab a 10-year-old boy or girl, and they'll be like up against the wall, just and just going up and down, whereas it gets much harder as we get older. So.
But I got to tell you, I've noticed even strength in my shoulders. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's such a small exercise, but just grabbing things, I just feel it's amazing.
It is the little things.
It is the little things. Okay, Katie, you've been watching Facebook Live. What do you got?
Yes, Anne would like to know if diabetics can fast.
That is a good question. The answer is yes, but very, very carefully. And so if they do it right, it can actually help quite a bit if they're type 2. If they're type 1, then they need to be still taking their insulin and monitoring it. So you just have to monitor it very, very closely. But the answer is actually yes. And so just be prepared to take to break the fast if you need to, if your sugar's dropping too low. Never do it by yourself, because if you're a brittle diabetic, the answer is no. But if you're in a place where you can still managing it, trying to manage it, just do it with some help. I always tell my patients to talk to your spouse or a loved one and have them be there with you, so that if you start to talk a little bit crazy from low blood sugar, they can say, here's something, you need to take this. And so you have to enter it into it with a plan and make sure that you're actually working together and form an agreement that if you start to get a little too loose with your thoughts and stuff, or you're passing out, then that means your blood sugar is too low. So.
And if it's a spiritual fast, maybe they can try media fast, TV, other things, if it feels iffy. Yeah. Any more questions, Katie? Anything else on there?
Not right now.
Okay. All right. She keep looking. Okay. We've got Sherry checking in from Cottage Grove. Hey, Sherry, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Troy. Thank you, Susie. I have a quick question. Is there anything we can do to delay this dementia and Alzheimer's? I know so many people that have it, and I've read intensely on it, and I've heard things, everything from people have a lot of drama in their life, or negativity has a lot to do with it. But is there certain, like, foods we should stay away from, or is there things we can do to delay this?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, there's a new nickname for dementia, and this is a generalization, but the new nickname for dementia is diabetes of the brain. And what they mean by that is it's a blood sugar regulation issue where in the brain, where your brain is not using the sugar for energy properly. So they did a study called the 99-year nun study, and basically what they found was the main components to stave off dementia and Alzheimer's is two main ones, other than the blood sugar. The blood sugar research came later. Number one was antioxidants. So people who had a diet rich in antioxidants, or even supplemented with antioxidants now, did quite well at staving off dementia. And number two, socially active.
Wow.
So the nuns that actually were talkative with part of groups, part of a culture, even if it was playing cards or doing things together, being socially active with high antioxidants was a big part of it. And nowadays, some of the treatments for non-drug treatments, I should say, deal with things like heavy metals and stuff like that. But it's our antioxidants that help protect from those heavy metals being laid down in the first place. And so it's one of those things where fruits and vegetables, colorful fruits and vegetables, and getting the sugars out of our diet can really prevent that. And then staying socially active, reading, talking, getting creative, being creative in your 50s, 60s, and 70s is very, very important. And so we may get to some of the personality stuff here later, but understanding your personality, your brain, and how you think, and then engaging in conversations with other people is very, very important as we age.
Yeah. And when you say diabetes of the brain, this is how your brain is maybe storing up sugar, not processing sugar. Why would one person, is it because of a high intake of sugar, or just a breakdown in their ability to metabolize it?
Both, yes. So you may have plenty of sugar there for the brain, but you also need to have a key to unlock the cell for the sugar to get in. So in the body, that's insulin. And so where you were saying here, like stress, people who have stress, they increase a hormone called cortisol. And cortisol is the brain's main anti-inflammatory. And so if you have a lot of stress in your life and you burn out your cortisol, you're losing that protection for the brain.
Wow.
Cortisol is also inhibitory or opposite to insulin. And so you can start to develop insulin resistance where you have enough sugar, but it actually doesn't get into the cell. That's actually why the blood sugar starts to rise even when you stop consuming a lot of sugar, because your insulin's not actually there to unlock the door to the cell to let the sugar in.
Man, that's absolutely amazing. Okay, this is a tough one. You have one? Nope. Sorry, I keep putting Katie on the spot. She moves and I look. Oh, Katie's got a question. Annette is checking in off air, and this is a heartbreaking one. She says, I have a question about what I can eat to improve my chances. I have stage 4 cancer, endometrial cancer of my uterus.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of research that shows both ways, actually. There's a lot of research debunking alkaline diets, and there's a lot of research and actual testimony talking about the benefit of it. And I've seen it enough where I know that an alkalizing diet is high in antioxidants can be very, very beneficial. And so if you look out, there are programs out there for stage 4 as far as diet, as what you're talking about diet. By itself, we don't know. That might be a big part of it. But if the question is diets, that is the best place to start. It's got to be high alkalizing. And the more you can take in the antioxidants, blend up the pulp and the nutrients from the skins and have a completely alkaline diet, that actually boosts your immune system. Now, if your vitamin D is high enough and your omega oils and glutathione are high enough in your body and you eat and consume a diet like that, what you're really doing is strengthening your own immune system to start to take care of the problem. A lot of the research out there is quite flawed because they're not looking at they're not measuring the effects it has on the body. They're taking a look at one short little window, and it's quite flawed, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The people who survive, it's almost always because their immune system wakes up and it starts taking care of it. I have, when I lecture, video footage of our immune system destroying cancer cells. So when you see that, you understand the whole point of cancer prevention is trying to get our immune system healthy enough to overtake the cancer. The challenge is with stage 4, whether or not we have enough time to do anything to get the immune system up.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, I would strongly encourage looking into that. There are hospitals that mostly in Baja California, south of the border, run by American doctors who will do that with low-dose chemo. They'll put you on a completely alkaline diet. You can call down to them because they're starting to actually measure what cancers they're having success with and which ones they're not.
Do you have a favorite antioxidant supplement that you would recommend?
Yeah, I recommend the essentials from USANA. They're my favorite. Mm-hmm. They're the actual only supplement Olympic athletes can use. So that's,
wow.
They're very pure. So they're mm-hmm. not for everyone, but they're a good high antioxidant supplement. The scientist who developed that is the same scientist who developed the test kits in our hospitals that detect mono and other bacterial and viral exposure. So they're probably my favorite.
I'll be getting that next time.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just pause and pray for Annette, and then we're going to get a question from Katie. But Father, we just bring Annette before you, Lord, and we just commit her to you. And I pray that you would hold her fear, hold her heart, Lord God. And Lord, you still are a God of miracles. So we ask you, stretch out your hand in this case. Would you heal her? Would you put her body right? Would you right the communication in her system, Lord? Pray her immunities would rise up and fight this cancer, Lord. You are still a God who heals. And so we're going out on a limb and asking for a miracle for her. We pray for her. We bless her. We ask you to do what only you can do and turn this thing around and give her many more years of health and life. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you, dear one. Wow. Okay, Katie, what do you have?
Yeah, this one's a little close to home because I know my mom struggles with this as well. But David on Facebook Live said, can you talk about migraines? I get them regularly. And although he finds that hydrating himself has helped some, he also craves corn chips when he has a migraine. And he finds that it helps. He said, is that odd?
Hmm.
Corn chips help the migraine?
Yes.
Or okay. They just taste good. No, I'm kidding. Maybe he's craving salt, you know, who knows?
Yeah, that is odd, actually. But for migraines, especially for men, there's a couple scenarios. Funny enough, ileocecal valve spasm, we talked about it earlier, is one of the main triggers for migraines, and corn chips usually cause them. So that's why it's interesting. But what I would say, David, is check just to the right of your belly button, go over an inch or two and then down an inch or two. while lying on your back and just push. Push in there a good inch depth or maybe a little bit more. If there's any pain or tenderness, then that's a sign that your iliocecal valve might be a little spasm. Now, what happens is there's a reflex that goes up into our neck, and it causes the muscles on the right to pull hard and the occiput rotates, and that's actually what triggers the migraine. Now, some people will have an iliocecal valve problem, and it won't have anything to do with migraines. It'll cause more wrist or arm problems or leg problems, but some people, it's actually a migraine. The other component that can trigger migraines, especially with guys, is dehydration and liver dysfunction. So caffeine can help with if caffeine helps take the migraine away, it's usually a problem with the liver. And what happens is if we consume too much caffeine in the past, it can trigger the release of adrenaline in our body, like coffee or Mountain Dew is the worst one that I see a lot with guys. If there's any high level of consumption of that or now or in the past, it triggers a release of adrenaline, and caffeine inhibits the liver's ability to actually break it down efficiently. So people end up having this cycle of highs and lows. Caffeine breaks the headache but causes a migraine. And so it becomes a vicious cycle. Those are the two most common causes. A chiropractor can fix the occiput part of this, but the dietary and adrenal liver part of it has to be done through diet.
Okay. You said one time that this thing that you're talking about, say it again.
The iliocecal valve.
That.
Yes.
You said it was your nemesis for a year or two, right? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
So why was that? And you actually did kind of self-treatment. Can you say a word about just your own experience there?
Yeah, I suffered quite a while with it, and I didn't know that was it until I eventually was taught that by someone at a seminar. It was off-the-cuff comment, and I kind of stopped and said, whoa, what did you just talk about?
Mm.
And it was just this old-timer who had just something he had noticed. And so I got checked, and that was my problem. And so after that, everything started changing when I got fixed. And what I started seeing was that people who have had an appendectomy are more prone to having iliocecal problems. And so there's a theory out there that the appendix is not a useless appendage. It actually helps with the lubrication of the iliocecal valve. And also people who've had appendectomies, there's more scar tissue and stuff like that. So I see a high, high preponderance of people with iliocecal valve problems also have had their appendix removed. Now, it doesn't mean if you have your appendix that you don't have iliocecal valve problems. But I would probably say, this is just a rough number, but 80 to 90% of people with appendectomies do have iliocecal valve problems.
Wow. And if you don't mind, and if it's too personal, just say the word, even though we're on Facebook Live and everything. Just kidding. But what were your problems before, and what did that improve as you start to address the issue? What were symptoms, and what happened?
Well, I had exercise-induced asthma. I had headaches that just wouldn't go away, and neck tension on the right side.
Mm.
And so once I got the valve fixed, I kept re-injuring my shoulders over and over and over. And I was I was a pretty good, and I know you can tell, look at me, you see Division I athlete. But
all over.
I was a Division I athlete, and I could just feel my body going down instead of getting stronger. And I was in my 20s. And so it wasn't making sense to me why I was getting weaker at times. And what I ate played a big, big role into it. And so I was not healing from a shoulder injury. And as soon as I got that corrected, my shoulder was good within a week.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing how these systems all work together. Rebecca, I see you. We're going to try to get your question on the other side. I think we'll be on Facebook Live for a few more minutes if Kyle is willing to hold the phone. His arms must be getting so tired. What a trooper he is. Don't go away. We'll take more questions. We've got a whole list of them as well. Talking to Dr. Troy, health and healing. And if you don't call in, I've got questions about Crohn's, about sleep disorders, about personalities and how they affect our health. What can you do about it if you're wired a certain way? It affects your health. Well, we'll talk about that on the other side. Back in a moment.
Chain breaker.
And that's what's true. And you know what? I think we live with a low level of misery emotionally, spiritually, physically, thinking this is all there is. And one of the reasons we have Dr. Troy on the show every month is because there are actually things you can do about your health. Tweaks you can make. Some are big, some are small, but will make all of the difference in the world. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. Troy. He's on every month. It's called Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. I see these questions coming in on the phone. We've been doing Facebook Live, and we've got other friends, family in studio. Katie, you've got a couple more questions you're watching on the computer on Facebook.
Yes, I do. Christy has a question. She said she was diagnosed with dementia and low blood sugar at 25 years old.
Wow.
And was a severe mental B12 deficiency. She had 6 months of hyperdose sublingually, completely reversed all of her symptoms, and she's also stayed away from bad fats.
Yeah, so let me make a comment on that. So that's actually a great testimony, and what she's talking about is methylation, and so there's a lot of people with methylation problems, and that happens with our immune system and our liver's ability to recognize what is a toxin and get that out. And so by balancing her blood sugar and improving her methylation, it reversed her condition, and
amazing.
She was able to do it. And being young and with that helps a lot. But that's great testimony as to what you can do when you get to the root cause.
Wow, excellent. That's it. Another one.
More of a statement. He said that he got assessed by you about a month ago, and he was told that he has the cells of a 49-year-old, and he is currently 69. He said, how does this apply to my life?
Well, that's a big slap in the back. That's good.
Come on,
yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I will say that it's very rare for people to come into the clinic and actually have cells younger than they are, and I just want to make a quick comment on that, because what that means is, when we look at how much water you're actually able to have inside your cells, it gives us a relative index as to how well you recover and how well you're doing in general. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have a heart attack or anything like that. So, John, I don't want you going out there and you know, skydiving and doing stuff like because you're invincible. But that means you've been doing a lot of stuff right. And I want to just take a moment here, because what that truly means is, as we age, really what happens is we lose the ability to hold on to our water inside the cells. So picture the difference between a grape and a raisin. My three-year-old, when she was three, my daughter, when she was three, was more like a grape, whereas my great-grandmother was like a raisin. And it's because as we age, our cells are replaced with whatever we are eating over the last or previous 7 years.
Wow.
And so it takes that much time to really get to a point of being good. And chemical mental stress break down the walls of our cells, and we can't hold on to the water. The nutrients don't go in. Where we're in a state of fear, literally the cells fold over so the receptors can't be seen to pull the nutrients in. So what it means is, John's doing a great job. Keep it up. Keep working on the little physical, mental, and chemical things that do show up, but he's in the minority. The majority of the people that come in, when we measure the age of their cells, they're quite a bit advanced, let's say.
Advanced. That's, thank you. Because,
that's polite Minnesota way of saying it.
Exactly. Mature, seasoned.
Yes.
Rebecca, you got to hang on just for a second, because this is just a piggyback conversation, but you know, putting myself out there, going, when I saw you the first time, and I feel like it was almost a year ago, it was in January, I think, December, January, but I was in a place of fight, flight. I was in a place of intense stress, and then Lyme flare, lots going on. And I do all these disciplines to care for myself, and we talked about this. I drink about 70 ounces of water a day, and yet the test that you do measures the muscle tone, the fluid in my system. I was lacking 3 liters of water. So even though I was doing a lot right, so much how I was handling things emotionally and what was going on physically was still impacting how I was receiving these disciplines.
Yeah, it's not how much water you drink, it's how much water you retain.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people, especially women out there, are drinking a ton of water and peeing out the exact same amount of water. And so the reality is, if your cells are closed off, if you're in fight or flight, they're closed off, they're not going into the cells. And so it's very important to take note of, if you are consuming a lot of water, but you're just going to the bathroom more, you're not actually getting the water. You got to get out of fight or flight to eventually start to receive the water. So it's not how much necessarily we drink, it's how much we retain and where it goes in our body. We need muscle contraction, physical activity, and the mental de-stressors, not being in fight or flight.
And this is why this is so key, because there were things that I needed to change. You know, I mean, I really recreated a bedtime routine. I already had a disciplined one, but I recreated some things there, really talked through some of the emotional aspects. And then there were things that I couldn't help, but you could help, and you helped me. You know what I mean? And that's the whole health triad, isn't it? It's chemical, physical, and emotional.
Correct.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. So, Rebecca, do we still have her on the line, or did she have to hang up?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, honey, so sorry to keep you waiting. Okay, I need to tell you this. We have a hard break coming up in about 4 minutes. So you're going to ask your question if it's okay. Dr. Troy will start, and if he needs to finish, we'll carry it over on the other side. So you go ahead.
Okay, I have a couple of pretty intense physical problems, the first of which is a sleep problem, and I've been diagnosed with idiopathic hypersomnia. And to stay awake, they've put me on Adderall, and I supplement that with caffeine because it still doesn't keep me awake. But I also have anemia where I don't absorb iron through my digestive system. They don't know why, but I have to go in every 2 years and have intravenous iron.
Wow. Bless your heart.
Help.
Yeah.
Help. Well, yeah, there's a lot going on there. The first thing is, if you have anemia, lack of oxygen, there's no one that can stay awake with lack of oxygen. So the first thing is the oxygen scenario has to be addressed, and figuring out the iron absorption. If you just slowly go down, if you're not delivering oxygen to your cells appropriately, that's going to set up that scenario. If Adderall helps but doesn't take care of it all that's basically like speed. So that means you're not delivering the fuel to your cells. If your cells don't have oxygen, it doesn't matter how much they're being stimulated. So think of it this way. If you stimulate, Adderall's like stimulating your brain where you're turning the key to the car and pushing on the gas pedal. If there's no gas in the tank, you're still not going anywhere. But that Adderall still has to be metabolized out of the body. Same thing with the caffeine. So it's all about getting the blood sugar and oxygen first. That has to be worked, tested, and worked on first. Then you can look at whether or not you're dealing with a functional disorder. For something like this, we definitely need more of a neurological workup and more of a metabolic workup, a full blood panel. And I'm going to talk just real briefly on the difference between traditional medicine and functional medicine. Traditional medicine, when they take blood samples, they'll do one little test or panel at a time for cost effectiveness, and they're looking for a disease process. If you don't have a disease, then you're told you're normal, or they diagnose it with idiopathic. Idiopathic means we don't know. That's what it means. And in functional medicine, they take the same lab test, but they get it all done at once, and they look for patterns in the blood work. So even though something might be normal, they look and see, is it trending the wrong direction? And if so, we can start to see why you're not getting the metabolic support. And it could be anything from a thyroid disorder to an intestinal lining disorder. Now, for people who are not absorbing iron, it's usually the first things that come to my mind that I would want to know is whether or not you have any type of autoimmune against the lining of your digestive tract, if there's a celiac or a gluten type scenario there. So identifying the actual problems are very important. Number two, and this is an unusual one, but I've seen this in this scenario two times in the last 20 years, copper toxicity. So some women are sensitive to and can't absorb the iron as well when there's some copper imbalances, and that's caused some type of metabolic problem. So, and the copper can be anything from one gal that came in, it was from an actual device that was implanted in IUD. And another was a copper pipes that were installed in their house incorrectly, and the water they were drinking daily was just toxic with copper.
Wow. I'm speechless. Rebecca, are you still there? Do I still have her? Sorry if I lost her. Are you still there, Rebecca?
No, I'm still here.
Is that helpful to you?
It is. I just don't know where to go to take the next step.
Well, I hope you can go see Dr. Troy. We're going to link up his practice on the show page today, and hope you can do that. Love to have you connect with him. I think just getting a full workup I mean, there's so many of these health things that are so complicated, and it does take this multifaceted approach. But may God bless you in directing the way that you should go. We've got Veronica, who checked in from Watertown. I'm going to ask your question on the other side. We welcome your questions. We're going to be on break here for about 4 minutes. We'll come back for another full hour of health and healing with Dr. Troy. So don't go away. Hour two is up next.